So you don't you probably don't know who I am. I'm Vige Minnaerts. I work. I'm a principal engineer at Catalpa International. You probably also don't know them. They are an a development non-profit, but not development as you know development, you know, with computers and stuff, but development as in international development. And do you know what that means? No, it's like foreign aid, helping people and stuff. Yeah, right. That's what we do. Right, we do develop software, by the way, for those kind of things. I'm attached to the Dili office. So what's a Dili? It's the capital of Timor-Leste. Where is Timor-Leste? I'll show you. It's there. Did you know? No? Well, then you're not getting a beer tonight for me. And you laughed, so you also don't get a beer. Everyone else laughed, so I don't have to buy anyone anything tonight. That's good. So, as you can imagine, it's not Timor-Leste is not a hotbed of system engineering. There's probably more sea turtles there than systems engineer. That's why I'm here, because over there's no one to talk to. Here, I have some people to talk to and to share my findings with. So before I started working over there, I worked at the NFI, the Netherlands Forensic Institute, attached to the Ministry of Justice, a three-letter agency, where I would do a lot of research on file formats. And that's good, because today we're going to look at TAR. So I'm here in a hobby capacity. Thanks for the organizers for inviting one of the little people, I asked to be invited and then they gave me a slot, but thanks. And also thanks to my company for sponsoring this hobby trip. So let's get to the hobby part. The contents of the talk, just very quickly. We need to know what we're talking about. So what does actually happen when something is being tarred up? How to make a tar file amenable to deduplication of a certain kind. Then I might, probably not, but I might, if we have time, look into complexities and side quests that you encounter if you actually try to write a TAR implementation. And we have some bycatch also, a hilarity enabling bug in GNU TAR. If you stay here until the end, you will, not until the end, but almost to the end, I'll show you. And I'll give you the crafting tool so you can start pranking your coworkers on Friday. And then we'll have some discussion. And this might take a while, the discussion. Anyway, first, let me introduce our test subjects. These are my cats. And we are going to take a picture and tar them up. So, yes. On the plane, the battery of my laptop died, so I ended up doing this. So, let's start. We have our cat picture here. Only 768 bytes. You might say that's very small for a JPEG, but my cats are very fluffy, so they compress well. So that's our file. Here we have the file offset, 0. So you need to read this as this is sort of metadata in the file system. This is also file offset 0 of the file that I call archive.tar. And then we'll have a look at this one too. So over here, basically on the top, you have file offset. That's how I represent this. It's a schema. So if you open your laptop and get like a microscope, it doesn't actually look like this. It's schematic. Right. So what I want to do is I want to take these cat pictures and make a tar file, right? The stupidest thing in the world. People have been doing this since forever. Well, maybe not with cat pictures, but with software and stuff. So, what do I do? I have a look at, in the file system, I use stat or statx, I find the kitties.jpg file, I start writing my tar file by making a header, which basically says, and this is where you regret that you sit all the way in the back while there are still places in front, you can still come here if you want. No one? Right. Where was I? Yes. We start writing that header, and of course it has some metadata that needs to tell us the names of the file, permissions, and it also needs to tell us how long it is. That is actually important. And then we pad that out. We'll get to why or how that is later. So we do that just by stats and then starting writing this file. And then what we would do naively is use read and write system calls to read from this file and write the contents verbatim into the archive, because that's how tar works. Your files inside the tar are inside there verbatim. You might notice that these are colored slightly differently. This is blue. These are blue bytes in the bellies of the cat, and these are red bytes. Why is that? It's not because the files are different, because I just say they were copied verbatim, but it's because we didn't tell the file system, we didn't tell the kernel anything about where these bytes came from, right? So if we just read from somewhere and then write with a separate system call to somewhere else, kernel has no idea where those bytes come from, so it has no other choice than to act, more or less, the file system has no other choice than to find, allocate new space for it. So the red represents a new storage location. So now we have two copies of this cat picture, which annoys me because I'm running ButterFS. I've been doing that for a while, and I know that that's not necessary. I only need to store things once, and the rest can be ref links, like Sweetie explained this morning. Anyway, I must continue by padding out to a multiple of 512 bytes, because that's the tar record size. After that, I might write a new header for another file, and the whole story continues, right? Now, copying out, of course, works kind of similar. Instead of stat, of course, I use something else, openat2, if I want. To create a file in the file system, there, a different file. And I just do my read and write again, or IOU ring if I'm hip, to write my cat pictures out. And now I have three copies of that file. And I don't know, I'm a hobbyist, but that annoyed me. I thought that's silly. Let's see if I can solve that. So let's see. You might say, why bother? Because, not because my cats are not worth in triplicate or something, but because we actually have some user space tools, such as BDUP for ButterFS. Or if you're running ZFS view, there's also, I think, something, an inline cache called the ZIL that deduplicates blocks. In the case of BDUP, which is the one I know, how it does that is by basically hashing blocks, but with a larger block size than the file system block size, usually because you don't want to store one hash per block of your file system, because you end up with a very large database, so they take a larger block size. If you're lucky, your picture might be larger than mine, and BDUP would be able to find that these files, or at least rounded to extents, hash to the same value and then unify the ref links. So okay, that would work, but it will not work for them. It will not be able to deduplicate between the files inside the tar and the files outside the tar. And why is that? Alignment, yes, thank you. Alignments, right. So the system call for those for creating those ref links, it works well. Your data needs to be aligned on the file system block size, which in most cases in the Linux world is 4 kilobytes. So, if only I would be able to push these cats out a bit further along in the tar file. Basically, put padding in front of them, padding of some sort. Put something in front of them. Then I'd be able to put them on the next block boundary, and then I would be able to deduplicate. Actually, I would be deduplicating while I'm putting it in, so my storage speed would be pretty much infinite for writing the file, because it's just flipping a pointer from the, or a couple of pointers from the file system perspective, making it sound easy, but it's probably not. And also writing out is going to be pretty much instantaneous. As long as you have the data on disk in your tar file and your files are aligned in the tar file, you could just snap your fingers and poof, all these files suddenly exist in your file system, which might be relevant for Docker or something, right? Okay, but this is not as easy as it sounds, so we might get to that in the discussion. Okay, let's, oh shit, I'm almost running out of time already. Okay, let's continue. So I need to move those cats. So how do I do that? So tar is a very ancient format. So yeah, it predates my birth probably. So it started with a Unix v7 header, 257 bytes, not six. 257 bytes long, then padding out to 512 block boundary, and then the file. Do I have any padding opportunity there? No, this is static size. So there's nothing I can do there to make this grow so that the file moves to this coveted 4096 bytes next block. POSIX 1998. 1988, so long ago, added some stuff, but okay, time-wise, no, I cannot find any padding there. I find padding in the POSIX 2001 specification, where you can have a type of X, which basically says a very special file is going to follow, which is a file as it is described by the Unix v7 header and by the ustar header. But the file is actually not supposed to leave the tar. It's a bunch of key value pairs. Think of it like that. It's not exactly that. But this thing can be of arbitrary size. So there I have my padding. If I can just stuff inside that packs the bunch of packs key header files thing. Then I can push and push to get my cats in the right place. It's not exactly nice because after that fake packs header file, you still need to have the Unix v7 header again and the ustar header again for the actual file. So this is just idiosyncrasies of the tar format. Okay, so I do that and then it works. End of story, end of my hobby. No, then I needed to write an actual tar implementation that someone could use, which is very hairy. I can't really go into that because of the time, but it's super annoying. Trust me. Yes, also have to skip this. Simlink race, sorry. We can do it later if you come to me or something. We can try to figure out how you get a Simlink race on unpacking and how OpenNet2 system call might help you with that. I also had a question for someone who's a kernel developer, but no time. We're at the bug demo time, so that's going to be fun. Let me see. Right, so did I mention already? Okay, so GNU tar does something very weird if you feed it a garbage packs header. It's not very weird. It's very, what do you call it? Very honest. It will try to tell you that it doesn't work. Oh, sorry?
10 minutes,
yes. So let me just, no, what did I call it? Yes. Let me just show you how that works. Let's start with that. Yes, okay, so here we go. I'm creating, yes, that must be readable. I can make it a bit larger. I'm making just a quick tar, don't care. And then I'm going to feed a tar packs header string into my little tool, which will act on this tar file. And then I'll clear the screen, and then I'll show you what tar will show you. Which is boring, right? Like it's very faithful. It says, "Oh, ignoring keyword." Thank you. So this was originally my avenue for padding. Later I found that there's an actual packs header which is called comment, which is of course the obvious thing to use because you can just make a really long comment. Another thing was that I considered was using like a very, very, very precise modification time. You can also put that in a PEX header, like with many decimals, and use that for padding. I thought probably most TAR implementations would be okay, and they would just, you know, look at the remaining precision and discard it. It would be femtosecond, no, beyond femtosecond precision. Anyway, back to the bug. So. I thought here, what if I didn't like this message, you know, I would like, okay, if you're going to complain, I don't want my users of my tool to see that. Can I put backspaces in here? Yes. let me just see if I can conjure that up. Yes, so slash B, backspace. And then, look, in growing unknown header. And there is my text. So yes, I can do that. Then I thought, hey, if I can do that, what else can I do? And I thought, maybe I can just clear the screen, you know, and then get rid of everything in one go. So clear screen is a terminal, like it if you can see this, it emits terminal control codes. Maybe you know what those are. So a terminal is not just a text stream. There are control codes, you can embed control codes. Actually, it's the only way to use control codes, terminal control codes. To, you can embed them in standard output or standard error. In this case, standard error, doesn't matter for TAR. The terminal sees those bytes and will act on it. This is how, for instance, you can get the thanks for flying Vim window title after you've quit Vim, and a whole bunch of other things you can do. One of them is clear screen, which emits the following terminal control codes. So I can also embed those in my TAR. I'm just going to spare you running. You'll just have to believe me that it clears the screen. Thank you. Another thing that you can do with, so then I thought, oh, nice. It also accepts terminal control codes. I thought, oh, I can also try pictures, because there are actually terminal control codes for different pixel formats. And then if you can have pictures in your TAR file, you can have not just one, you can have more. You can clear the screen in between. And what do you have then? A what? A movie, yes, that's right. So, oh, shit, sorry. You're not. No, too early. My. So, TAR, my favorite archival tool, is the world's worst video player. Can do that. Thank you. Okay. Onwards. So you might think, what about zip and compression? Fair point. So for compression, you know, if you use a TAR, mostly you're going to, well, often you'll write it through gzip or bzap or xset or something. And then, of course, this whole deduplication breaks, right? That's sad. Zip doesn't have that problem, because in zip you can compress individual entries, which means that although they won't be the same as the files in the file system, you can deduplicate them if you align them between zip files. So that's kind of interesting, given that zip align exists. I don't know if there's any Android developers here, but often you're supposed to use a tool called zip align. We'll get to that. Compression is optional, so actually with zip you could also do the same trick with TAR if you align it well. 5 minutes, thank you. In contrast to TAR, it's blah 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 blah. Java jars and wars are also zips. APKs are nested jars with other stuff in between. So I was wondering, maybe you know, you can answer this, is that just so that you're able to memory map inside your APK for Android? Or is it also so that you can deduplicate compressed contents between archives, which is very good if you're the Play Store and you have quite a few APKs which all carry the same spyware. So you'll want to deduplicate those jars. Is an open question to me. I don't know. Maybe one of you knows whether they're doing that. Anyway, my contribution, we have the DubTAR, which is usable. You can download it. You can just run go install, blah, blah, blah. You now know a bit more about block alignment and how to do it with TAR. And the nice thing is you don't have to get anyone's agreement to do this. You can just pad out and start deduplicating if you run butterfs. Or XFS actually is also able to do this, the same IOCTL. Right, and you can, so this is a 2-day, it's not an O day. I did get a hold of the tar maintainer and they have fixed it since 2 days ago. So, like in 2 years, you cannot do this anymore on Debian. but for now, you can. So yeah, the tool is there. Ask me later for the URL, and you can also read the source code if you want. Right. So you might say, oh, let's align everything. Wouldn't it be great if the major tar implementations and programming languages would know these padding tricks and would just give us block-aligned tars by default? Yeah, that would be nice. But I also said this ahead of time, because otherwise there would be assassins from the future here to stop me from saying that, because there was someone here at All Systems Go in 2019. I was not here. Alex Sarai, who was arguing that tar is terrible and we should basically stop using it, especially for things such as container images. So he was planning to make a new container image format, OCI v2. But I can't find it anywhere. I don't know. And I think Docker still uses tar and stuff. I don't know where this went. But anyway, in this super nice world, we would gain a lot of potential benefits. Right. Questions?
Don't laugh now, I may have bad answers.
This might be obvious, but if you do this padding trick, won't you end up using a lot of garbage space to save less than a block?
Yeah, so deduptar, if it encounters a small file, it's not going to deduplicate it that way, because the padding required would be larger than the padding saved.
But then if you pad it with 0 bytes or something, can a sophisticated FS like BitFS just compress that, like, efficiently?
Well, the
if it's just
thank you for mentioning this. Yes, so I mentioned compression for tars before, and why that would be nice, but this kind of deduplication would also work if you're using compression on your BetterFS file system, because it's just happening on a different layer. So then you don't have to compress your tar, basically, because it's already compressed. Yes.
Yes. Thank you for your talk. You mentioned a couple things that make this not great in practice, but, such as not being able to use compression.
You can. You just use BetterFS.
Yeah, fair enough. But also, like you mentioned, zip can use per file compression. So does it make sense to have an incredibly silly implementation that uses your padding trick for images and uses compression for text?
Sorry?
So you have you do your alignment trick for images and other stuff that doesn't compress?
I can do it for anything I want. I can use it for my Docker images, which are also tars, which contains
most of the things in a Docker images in a Docker image compress well. Wouldn't it make sense to make a hybrid of things that do compress and actually do compress those? And
what? Yeah.
Yes, so zip.
Exactly, that's what I mentioned, this is zip. So you can try to create a compressible format or a vendor extension, which I also mentioned, for tar. Also without agreement from anyone, you just create a PAX header where you say, oh, the next file is going to be compressed with gzip or with XZ. And
Thank you.
You can, because it's aligned, you can compress between the layers of your Docker tar, basically.
Thank you. We don't have any more time.
Oh, really?